We pull up in a small town baseball diamond and we see a team of what grade are 12-year-olds?
Sixth grade, roughly. Sixth,
Six
seventh
to
grade.
seven.
Homeschool is over here. Oops. We see a group of sixth to eighth graders, and they are all running around having a grand old time. We see a nervous young Avery in the dugout getting ready to have his turn up at bat. First week, he gets up to the bat, he smashes a home run. It goes way further than he expected it to. And then he runs all the bases. It's so fast, a little bit faster than most people would expect. But hey, that's just a fast little sixth grader, no big deal. We see a bit of a montage flash of Avery forming connections with other players, being a great sport, helping up other team players who are, getting knocked down after a brutal run to the base that Avery, of course, made it there first because he's pretty fast. I don't know what that's about. And we see him making it all the way to state championships in his last year of playing. And due to his tremendous reflexes and agility, they win the state championship and everything's going grand. He looks up to the stands and sees his somewhat estranged aunt sitting next to his dad's, and a little tear comes to his eye as he appreciates that. And then we fade to black. Welcome back to Queering People's Saving Throws, your favorite D&D podcast about a group of friends who go into their werewolf's mind. Woo, good times. Let's go around the circle and meet everybody again. Catch up.
I'm Elena, pronouns she, they, and I play Gemma, whose pronouns are she, her, and she's still reeling from the fact that she's a mass murderer, which is fun. And my fun fact for Gemma this week is that one of her favorite hobbies is taking photos with disposable cameras.
Hey,
Cute.
okay.
Yeah.
I miss disposable cameras being a normal thing.
I thought about buying one for my trip and decided not to do that.
You know what? I have bought one for a road trip last summer, and we did bring it along to the road trip, but then we barely used it because we were forgetting and using our phones.
Yeah, that's exactly why I didn't
So it
spend the
was
money.
kind of disappointing.
Yeah, I feel like you'd have to bring it somewhere where you're not going to bring
You
your
have to be
phone.
really
You have to
intentional.
like be like, I'm putting my phone away and I'm
Yeah.
pulling out this camera.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I'm KJ and I play Courtney, whose pronouns are she, her. And fun fact about Courtney, her like go-to outfit when like not in the woods is the 2003 like low-rise jean, like bootcut jeans and like a chunky belt and like a crop top, or just like the full like juicy velour like tracksuit.
Incredible.
Very good. Hello, I'm Sam. My pronouns are she, they, and I play Mo, whose pronouns are they, them. And my fun fact for Mo this week is that they grew up watching Bob Ross with their family, and they loved the painting part, but they hated the Bob Ross part. They didn't like being told what to do. They would always go rogue.
Mo, or is this about Sam?
That's so good.
Mo didn't like the happy little accidents.
No. And I'm channeling my own self, Sam,
I would
in
never have
this
guessed
because I
that.
fucking hate his voice. I don't.
No,
I know it's
really?
controversial. I know he's so annoying. Like the happy little accidents thing. It's like, oh, I'm making these happy little trees. And oh my God, shut up. I can't do it.
Cannot relate.
I'm sorry.
That's beautiful.
Love that you're confident enough about this take to just like put it out into the world. You know how many people love Bob Ross?
I know. Maybe
Yeah.
don't put that in.
It's too late now. I
I think
think
people can be upset with Mo, not with me. This is a Mo thing. This isn't a Sam thing.
So fair.
Hi, my name is August. My pronouns are they, them, and I play Avery Thomas, whose pronouns are he, him. And my fun fact about Avery is that his childhood dog, which was named when he was very small, was named T-Rex because he really, really liked T-Rexes. So
That is such a cute
Oh,
name.
that's so
So
cute.
much.
Yeah.
Aw, did Avery name him himself?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Adorable. That's such a kid name to give to a dog.
Mm-hmm. What kind of dog? I was feeling like Border Collie type.
Oh, yes. Yes, Border Collie.
Yeah, or like, yes. like Golden Retriever or something.
Yeah, and I feel like Border Collie more than Golden Retriever.
I like it.
Everything I learned about Avery just makes me be like, what a soft bean.
Oh, well, this is a great episode
Wait till you find out.
Am I going to eat my words?
I'm Noah. I'm the DM. I play everybody else. I never think of my own fun fact before we come on here, but my fun fact of the week is, sorry, KJ, have we established Courtney and Lizzie's zodiac sign?
This feels like important, especially for these two characters.
I don't think we have, but I have established that their birthdays are June 6th and 7th, so that does kind of cement it in one of them. Do I know the zodiac for June?
Gemini, I think.
Yeah, that's Gemini.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Did you do that Gemini on purpose?
For sure.
Probably. Like, why else would I pick June? June has no special meaning for me. So,
well, that's a little bonus fun fact for Courtney and Lizzie. They're actually Geminis. Oops. But I'm going to say Lizzie's favorite holiday is St. Patrick's Day, because it's the time when parties are the most raucous and rowdy, besides Mardi Gras. But she doesn't, not a big fan of Mardi Gras. Anyway, let's do a little recap of how last week went, and then we can get on into it.
So last time we met up with Captain Aya, who at first I thought was somebody that I used to know, and turns out it's one of their descendants. And we basically just had to convince them that we're okay and we're not here to cause any harm. We're just trying to get home.
So like, we found these like witches, and like, I don't know, it doesn't seem like they're doing super great. It seems like a lot of people have maybe died, but they got this town set up, and like, that's better than like sleeping in the woods, I guess.
One of the witches told us a prophecy, I guess, and I'm not really sure what to make of it. Something about outcasts and death unleashed and something about a paragon. I don't know.
So turns out that my family or other family or wolf family might be out there somewhere. Don't really know, but they, Captain Aya said we could go to the wolves and see if we could get more answers. Or another option was to do this kind of spell thing. I don't know, go into my mind and see if we can get answers that way. Don't really love either of these options, but we decided on the mind trip. Not sure how that's going to go.
Me neither, but let's get it started and see how that goes. So you all had a pretty decent night's sleep. I actually think Courtney did not.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like sleeping. I rolled super bad.
Yeah, okay. So Courtney did not get a great night's sleep, but everybody else, pretty decent. Avery had an odd dream about their wolf parents calling to them using their full name, Avery Velian, which was pretty wild. And now everybody wakes up in the witch's stronghold, their little community of, it's like in a courtyard type situation. You all have some nice little beds that you wake up in. As you wake up, you see there's not as many people as there were last night. Some of them are clearly out on their jobs for the day, but Captain Aya is over by the fire, tending to it and helping another witch make, you assume, stew and maybe a coffee or two.
Well, Gemma's going for some coffee.
Yeah, Courtney would also like
immediately some coffee.
Yeah, Mo's also going to get some coffee.
Lizzie rolled back over and is going back to sleep.
Very fair.
Avery's going to like ask Aya if coffee is a good idea before they go on a little mind adventure, little mind trick.
Captain Aya raises her eyes and greets everyone with a short but sweet nod and says, "Ah, coffee may not be the best of moods to put the subject in, but everyone else feel free. It might help keep you alert. And Avery, don't worry, I'll grab you some tea in a moment." And gestures at somebody over by the storeroom.
Guessing that ain't sweet tea.
I'm not familiar with this. Add sugar? We can
figure that out. Stick with water, I think.
Good job playing the Texan right, though. That was.
I was like, good. There's only one mood here, right? Like, there's no way this 20-year-old Texan boy wants tea. Like, almost no way.
Yeah.
It was good.
It's not a thing.
She hands you, the three of y'all, a mug of coffee that's pretty bitter, pretty strong stuff. And someone from the side brings over Avery a nice little water canteen. Aya says, well, if everyone's got a good night. Wait, one, two, three. Where's the fifth one? The Lizzie? And she peeks to see Lizzie just right back under the covers. Well, we could make it work with just the five of us. If does she want to?
Mo's going to walk over to Lizzie and kind of like shake her a bit. Hey, we got to get up now. Things are happening.
Lizzie says, oh my God, 5 more minutes, Mom. God damn it. I just want to sleep. And then realizes that it was not her mom who just spoke and opens her eyes a little bit faster. Oh, Mo, I didn't expect you to be the one waking me up, but okay, fine. And hops out of bed very slowly. Aya hands her a cup of coffee as well. Well, okay, then, all right. Once everyone's got a chance to get their mind straight, we can head to the spell circle and get it moving, as they say. Avery, are you prepared for this excursion? It might be somewhat taxing on you.
Don't know that there's much I can do about that, eh? That they ate at the end really shouldn't have come out.
That's the most Canadian shit you've ever said.
It's really highlighted because I'm trying to do a freaking Texas accent.
Oh, that
you're
was
doing so good at the sweet tea, and then now you hit us with the A.
That's not a way to end a sentence, guys. I don't know what else to tell you.
It's really hard not to sometimes. And I usually don't restrain, except in this context. Okay, we're going to try that again.
It's like a Pokemon. Wild Canadian appeared. They used A. It was very effective.
ready as I'll be, I guess.
Now, was that Avery? Because...
Chester, I love you. Gotta be interesting.
You just leave that in, you know?
Yeah.
Any little dog noises, they just like add to the ambiance.
It's good. There's your inner monologue.
When Kirk comes and sits on the keyboard, it doesn't make noise. Like, it's just, Kirk's just there.
So fair. Chester likes to make his presence known.
Yes, he does.
Aww. Aya takes the group and starts leading you down into a little cellar that they have underneath this little stronghold. And it's pretty well set up. It's pretty cozy, pretty comfortable. Lots of bean bags. And there's a section in the middle that's got some runes and incantations drawn into the floor. They start to gesture around for everyone to take a spot, except for Avery. They gesture for them to come help make the concoction. There's a few other witches off to the side to help get that started.
Can Gemma be nosy about what the witches are doing?
Yes. Do you want to do it stealthily or you want to ask them?
Stealthily.
Okay, roll Arcana.
Ooh, okay.
And Avery, will you roll a constitution check to see how you feel about getting your blood drawn?
Check, not a saving throw, correct?
Yes.
I have super bad constitution.
That roll did not help either.
No. Well, I get a -4. I mean, that was never going to be a good roll to begin with.
Very true.
Oh.
Ooh.
Rolled a 5.
Actually, you rolled a critical 1 plus 4.
Oh, God. So it doesn't matter.
It does. It is. You forget anything you know about blood spells. Yeah. It's.
You actually have never heard of a blood spell before?
You actually lose information.
Yeah. I like bump my head on something and like, oh, what the?
I don't know what's happening.
Forget everything.
Gemma's actually the tallest of the group and starts hitting their head on the stairs on the way down and a little while. Avery, you pass out almost instantly from this blood drawing, and Aya looks shocked. And okay, well, did everyone eat this morning? Did everyone make sure that they were okay? Oh my God. And does a little revivification spell to help you get back up. Not revivification, just a small healing spell, but you will take 1d4 of damage.
Oh, it's going to be a rough night.
Yeah. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Also, everybody was, that was a long rest, right? Did everybody heal up?
Oh, and I'm going to roll a 4.
Oh.
Okay. We are already. Okay.
We're
going to be fine.
My gnarly arm gash is healed.
Yes, it is. You woke up and the wrappings that they had slid right off because they're super cool spell wrappings.
Oh, dope.
We love witches.
Yeah, we do. Everybody takes their seat. The witches murmur some incantations over the small cauldron that they are mixing Avery's blood into and a few other herbs and potions. And who knows, because Gemma got a 1, so we don't really know. And
Gemma's an idiot.
No.
That's everything.
Starts bubbling.
Gemma's just got a lot going on in her brain.
Yeah. A lot happening today. There's, 300 years of history there, and never once do we remember a blood spell. But they pour the concoction into 6 different cups and passes one out to everybody across the circle. Lizzie is still standing and starts to take a little sip. And Aya's like, oh, let's wait a moment. And everyone take a nice spot, get comfortable. We don't want you to accidentally do a sleep spell and, be passed out in the road or on the floor or some shit like that. That would be embarrassing and just, ugh. Everybody takes a nice seat, doing everything comfy. And she says, okay, now, Avery, it's probably best if you drink it first. So you're there whenever we get there and we don't all spread out to unknown locations.
But, yeah, I think if you're going to be in my brain, I'd like to be there first.
Yeah. And once we go in, we'll all gravitate towards Avery's location. And hopefully nobody gets lost. But
no one go poking around.
Don't. Here? Whatever you do, don't focus on specific questions you have about Avery. She glances at Lizzie, having overheard Lizzie being like, oh my God, what was your first kiss? Just last night. And says, now, we just want to focus on Avery in general. Then we'll gravitate towards their personality. Everyone clear?
Okay. Avery, tries to look intimidating, but is probably not. Considering he just passed out a few minutes ago, my guess is not. Can I roll to see how intimidating he looks?
With disadvantage, yes.
Yeah, that seems fair. Okay, so that's a 9.
Okay, not the least intimidating person you've seen, but not intimidating. Lizzie makes direct eye contact and says, I'll figure that out. Just give me time. Give me time, bud. It's fine. But not right now. I get it. Aya says, my 2 associates here will be keeping an eye on us while we're under. And if things seem to be going poorly, if anybody starts reacting. Oh, I don't think I mentioned, but if you die in the mind state, it will have quite adverse reactions to your physical bodies here in this realm. Just a heads up. There shouldn't be much danger. I don't. Well, it is a
when
well.
When you say right. Quite adverse.
Hold on.
How we might die.
Well, that's the part of, we're going into a strange new reality. There's always a chance we could die, but it's highly unlikely, especially with me there by your side. I've been trained in this and I've done it many a time, 3 times, and it will be great. It'll be, as long as there's not some secret hidden monster lurking in Avery's memories, then we'll be all right.
Got any of those, Avery?
I thought we were going in so that we can get some answers and about stuff I don't recall.
Yes.
So I don't.
But to get to the werewolf familial gene spectrum, we have to go through to the deepest recesses of your mind. So we have to go through a bit of bob and weave some of Avery's personal history to make it there. But then we can get to your genetic memories and access, maybe get some answers as to where your family is or where they came from.
Avery's all right, I got a question.
Yes, Mo.
What do you mean? Can you explain what the effects would be on us if we were to die in the dream?
Aya kind of glances at her associates for half a second and then says, I've never fully experienced them, but there is a slight chance that you could be destroyed internally.
So dead?
Yes, but still alive.
So we'd be a vegetable.
Sort of, but with the potential, you'd be locked inside your own mind without any sort of way out. We have gone into that person's mind and revived someone from that state, but it is a quite complex situation, and I would rather not have to do that with untrained individuals. So as long as everyone's careful, it'll be fine.
Oh, yeah, just everyone be careful.
Exactly, you get it.
Great advice. Mo is rolling their eyes.
Lizzie high fives you.
Are we like totally sure this is what we want to do? Because like we could still go like find some werewolves, right?
I mean, I don't know. That feels equally, maybe more dangerous. This is, I mean, just don't fuck around with anything in my brain and you won't turn to mush.
Like, seems like. Avery, like, how many things in your brain would, like, try to kill us? Just, like, be honest.
Scale of 1 to 10, how traumatic is your backstory?
I mean, I didn't even know I had a werewolf family until, like, yesterday. So, I don't know. Grew up in a small town. Small town shit.
Oh my god, wait. Small town? Okay, wait. This might be a little dangerous.
You know, I think Avery's just as much in the dark as we are.
I think that's the whole point.
Yeah.
We're going to go for it. I say we go. Before any of us has a chance to change our minds.
Lizzie says, you know what? That's a great idea. And she drinks her cup.
Yeah, Avery will.
Well, fuck it, I guess. Mo drinks theirs too.
Everybody chokes. Avery will also down it.
Okay, everyone who drinks, roll a constitution check. Please.
Oh,
Lord.
Ooh, it's not a natural one.
The dirty one.
To be really clear, it's a dirty one. I got it's still a one. Still not starting to sound great.
I also roll a dirty one.
We're in fucking danger, y'all.
This is good.
No.
This is good.
Is somebody gonna die this episode? Oh. I am not feeling very confident.
Okay, so Lizzie rolled a 19. Aya rolled a 14. Gemma rolled a 9. Mo rolled an 11. And yeah. Both Courtney and Avery rolled dirty ones. So.
Oof. Shit.
When you regain consciousness, you are falling down a deep chasm of darkness and you don't see.
Chasm.
Is that a bad word? Do you not like chasm?
No.
Oh,
like,
okay.
No, I was just.
Oh, okay, okay.
I was just being an asshole.
Good word. I love chasm. Thank you.
Good word.
I was just running my mouth. You can just tell me to shut up.
No, it's fine.
It's Avery like, talks when he gets nervous.
I was concerned it was
so
like
August,
moist
so,
or something. And I was like,
sorry.
No, you're good. Avery, you are falling into a deep, deep chasm of darkness. And there's a ever present, ever so slight thrum of music, of harmony off in the distance. As you glance around, you don't see anybody else. When Gemma, Mo, Courtney, and Aya regain consciousness, they are falling into a deep chasm of darkness with a ever so slight hint of music, but you land pretty quickly in a foggy forest.
Together or like, do we all, are we scattered?
You four are in the same area. Gemma, Mo, Courtney, and Aya. Avery and Lizzie are nowhere to be seen.
Oh dear.
So much for sticking together.
Aya glances around and says, oh, well, that's not ideal. Were any of y'all thinking about anything particular about Avery?
Were we supposed to be?
No, you were doing everything great. If you ended up in the same area as me, then I assume we've all done pretty well.
Well, how can we really know what they were thinking if they're not here?
Actually, I lied. Courtney's not there. I forgot about you also getting the one. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Avery, Courtney, and Lizzie are now all missing. But Aya glances around and you hear different phrases and voices calling out different comments and moments, all of them seeming to revolve around Avery's name. We see a small clearing open up. You haven't walked anywhere, but it feels like you've moved. We see a multicolored portal open up, and it's not any specific shape. It seems to be existing in more dimensions than the three that you can see. And it opens just for a half second, and out comes a small puppy, almost thrown through it. It's a little tan with dark brown stripes going down the back, a white underbelly, and one of the back paws is black, which most of you recognize as the same patterns that Avery has when he goes into werewolf form.
Oh, little pup Avery.
Oh, and my God. Just a puppy.
Just a little puppy, little baby.
A little wee pup.
And Aya says, ah, well, so that's, so that's got to be the portal that brought them to the Earthen realm. Fascinating. We see two figures jogging down a forest path, and they kind of stumble into small Avery. He does a little yelp at them, like, yep. Oh, well, is Chester still around? Well, we'll just move that sound yeah. over.
Chester, sound effects.
He is finally sitting quietly.
Yeah, we won't provoke him. That's
don't,
okay.
Don't mess with that. Don't yeah. mess with that.
Little Avery yelps at them in a trying to be intimidating way, but it just looks adorable. And the two figures lean in and start commenting on how cute he is, how they had always kind of wanted a puppy. And well, maybe we just take this one. I mean, he doesn't have a collar. This is kind of interesting. And he rubs up on Avery. Avery starts sniffing and rubbing back and doing little circles around them. It's adorable. A great little scene.
You're trying to make me self-destruct.
I'm a little mad that Courtney and Lizzie aren't there for this scene, but that's it's fine. It's fine.
We would be losing our minds if we were there.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sure there'll be opportunities.
As you're seeing this happen, Courtney, when you regain consciousness, you are falling into a deep chasm of darkness, and there's an ever so slight, ever present thrum of music in the distance. You land in a foggy forest, just like the others, but you don't see anybody. What's your first instinct?
I'd like to scream for everybody, particularly Lizzie, but I also have a question of what is the music?
Ooh, okay, roll perception.
Perception, where are you?
I really hope it's like a David Bowie song or something.
I perceive nothing.
You do not hear anything. You actually stop hearing the music. You thought you heard it, but now it's gone and you can't focus on it because now you're just panicking.
I'm deeply about the music.
I'm proud of you. But you do start making enough noise that the rest of the group, Gemma, Mo, and Aya, can hear you and they call back out to you.
Okay, can I try to go in that direction?
Yes. As you do, you walk into a clearing with a small puppy bounding around two young men, and then that scene vanishes almost as soon as you make it there. It's heartbreaking. And then we swap back to Avery. Avery, you land from your long dramatic fall, longer than you feel like it should have been, and you are in a hospital room. And you recognize this hospital room with every fiber of your being, and everything in you screams that you don't want to be there.
Can I run away?
Yes.
Can he run away? He's going to try and run away.
Roll athletics.
Yeah. I just basically going to take one look and then turn and be like, actually, I would like to leave. That's a 17.
17, perfect. You push out the door as fast as possible. And as soon as you make it out of the room was never there and it's gone. And you're in a foggy forest. And you run almost immediately into Courtney, who has just made it back to the group.
So I've run into the rest of the group as well?
Yes. So Aya turns around and, aha, okay, we're 5 out of 6 now. We're doing great.
Five out of 6? Who are we missing?
We lost Lizzie.
Lizzie has not appeared yet, which I guess is on me because she's just decided to drink her cup first and hopefully we find her along the way. Otherwise, they just trail off.
Listen, we are going to find my sister or else I'm like totally going to sue you. I don't know if that's a thing I can otherwise, do here, but
I'm going to say that is our first priority before we do any other.
We're not leaving without Lizzie.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, then who would know where to find Lizzie? Or do we just try? This is a little out of my depth. I don't really know this Lizzie, but...
Well, I would think Courtney would...
Literally, we're like basically the same person.
So where would you go if you were lost?
Well, I mean, we're not like totally the same, but like we do know each other super well. And like, I'm just saying, Avery, like maybe like we should go to like wherever in your brain your first kiss is, because like Lizzie did kind of seem like she was kind of fixated on that.
Can't see it. None of you can see the reaction that I had to that as a player.
I like totally wouldn't even ever ask to see that, but like
bullshit.
Lizzie definitely would. She's like super nosy.
Sure, Courtney.
I don't know how to get places in here. I just woke up and
all you have to do is try to bring it to the forefront of your memory. And
I don't know if that I want y'all just there. He's very, very well,
listen, we'll like close our eyes and you can just like look and see if Lizzie's there.
Right.
This is totally about my sister.
As long as you're not trying to kiss a huge, dangerous monster creature, then we should be fine to close our eyes. I don't know. I apologize if that was a slight on you.
Keep this in. Just know our message.
I was pulling you up too.
It's funny at this point. Okay. He like takes a breath and like won't make it eye contact with any of them. All right, y'all, but we're looking for Lizzie and then we're leaving. Not gonna find anything. Not gonna find any important information in that particular memory.
Fair, fair. I doubt that your huge werewolf genetic knowledge is going to rely on your first kiss. So I agree.
I'm not going to lie. I'm really hoping for a plot twist here.
You know what? I know some of what could happen tonight. I don't know everything. So
it's going to be good. So Avery, will you roll history to see how well you pull up this next memory?
10.
Okay, it takes some effort and some beaded forehead frustration, but you change the forest around us. Aya respectfully closes their eyes while maintaining perfect focus and standing up, not like losing balance at all.
Very sweet of them.
Gemma also closes her eyes.
Yep, those are the characters.
Yeah, is there a thing that I can do to also close my eyes? I feel like Courtney would be good on her word on this particular thing.
No, yeah, you don't have to roll anything to close your eyes. We just
right,
unless you're trying to close them or like not close them, and you look like you're closing them.
Yeah,
in real life, like I feel compelled to not look at
in this audio only medium.
Yes,
you better not look at this totally real memory that we're gonna visually see.
Well, if I close my eyes, then it's like I'm one of our listeners and I'm just experiencing it auditorily.
As you are flying through the forest, it changes into a school backyard. Oh god. Okay.
Field is field
like
the word you're looking for?
Like a field, but like out back of the field, you know, like where the cool kids hang out and smoke the drugs occasionally. I don't know. Avery's not doing that. I'm not saying
not this time.
Tell me
not
you didn't time. Have an American public school education without
telling me. We've already exposed me enough.
The cool
kids
hang out at the back of the field.
But see, the funny thing is, I know exactly to which the field he is referring. I have an image of it.
We have exactly two people in this chat that
I've been to that spot, but I haven't gone to the school. Ooh. But it's whatever.
Rebel.
Anyway, we see a young Avery, maybe 16, right at the edge of his... Sorry, 16? Did you want it to be younger?
That's 16. That's roughly what I was thinking. So.
Okay. Right around the end of his baseball career that the listeners got a little montage of at the beginning of the episode. And we see him waiting very nervously and anxiously. Mo, you also see it because you have not closed your eyes, I assume?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I get the sense that Mo would want to know what's going on.
Mo wants to know. Mo doesn't want to see the kiss, but Mo wants to be aware of what's happening.
So
yeah.
Nope. Mo just stayed silent.
Avery, if you want to roll a perception check, you can see if Lizzie is around anywhere. Oh, with advantage because you've got werewolf eyes.
Werewolf eyes.
Wow.
Also a 9.
9 both times. You don't see Lizzie, obviously, in the area around you, but she makes herself known pretty soon because as soon as Avery is like sitting there, young Avery is sitting there anxiously, like awaiting somebody to show up, Lizzie peeks her head over the top of the building that he's leaning against and is like peering down, waiting to see. Oh my god. Makes a little
good Lord.
Oh my god, he's so cute, Dagbin. He's such a little kid. Oh my god, this is little Avery.
So Avery's, but like real Avery, real like current present dreamwalking Avery sees this, like very obvious, sees Lizzie do this. He's gonna like hiss at her, like kind of just like, Lizzie, Lizzie.
She glances up and says, oh, hey, oh, hey, one sec.
He's gonna motion with his hand very aggressively.
As soon as you do that, the stud of the baseball team walks around the corner, and their name obviously was Javery. Nope.
Okay, the first thing that came to my brain was Trent. I don't know.
Trent. I like it.
Ooh, Trent.
It feels like a baseball stud.
That's a football name.
Did I say football? I meant baseball.
No, you said baseball.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's it. Never mind.
My bad. Trent, star of the football.
Sorry. Trent.
Star of the baseball team. The sports star.
Of the sports ball.
Sports stud Trent walks around the corner and makes eye contact with Avery and says, oh, hey, how's it going? What's up, little Avery? Little Avery. He's also 16. This isn't, he's just taller than Avery.
Avery might be a fast and everything, but he's still a little shrimpy.
Yeah, a little bit. At 16 for sure.
Brawny, but strong and fast.
Avery's really nervous, but he responds back affirmatively, and they have a small, awkward conversation for 16-year-olds that very clearly came back out here to have a little makeout session. And they do a sweet little kiss. Trent is decidedly gentle about it, not a big, whole, aggressive high schooler, but it's very good sweet guy, Trent, and very cute. And Lizzie is kicking her feet back and forth.
Avery is now fully red and is now aggressively, like, it's barely a hiss anymore. It's now almost just fully a, like, shout at Lizzie.
Lizzie looks up, sees how serious he is, and hops down off the roof. Turns back one last time to see Avery get kind of picked up a little, get bit against the wall. And it's just a little bit. And turns back and goes, oh my god, this is good. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I have a really important question. Obviously, Courtney has kept her eyes closed this whole time, so she doesn't actually know anything. But I just need to know, like, personally, above the table, are they, like, still dressed in their little baseball outfits?
Absolutely. You know
it. Oh, my God.
You know. Practice, clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly.
This is mid-practice, I think.
Incredible.
We're sneaking off during practice.
Yeah,
that seems about
right. That's cute.
I would also like to add that Mo has now turned their back. She still has their eyes open, so they're aware of their surroundings, but they turned around.
That's
respectfully. I like that's it.
Respectfully.
So fair. Lizzie walks back to the group and smacks Avery on the bicep a little bit. And that is real hot. I'm not going to lie. And that was really cute. It was really sweet. And now that I know you're like that, you like that, then that's a positive.
Sorry? He's just stuttering and blushing and cannot words.
Gemma is shaking her head with her eyes closed.
Oh my god, you're making this like so weird.
She's the one that got us here.
Okay, we're all together now. Let's get out of this memory.
Yeah.
As soon as you say that, basically, Avery's lost focus on that memory and we're back in the forest. Foggy, foggy forest. And Aya kind of blinks, one eye open. Aha, okay. Well, now, let's move a little bit deeper into your psyche then. Get as close as we can to the werewolf genes, you know? When you first experienced your power, what do you remember about that?
Like, when I first... I'm not quite sure I know what you're asking.
That's fair. Maybe just tap into your natural abilities and see where that takes us. Maybe I'm not saying werewolf out. Lizzie says, I am. Though, you got this. Aya kind of shushes her and I think just open your mind, open your senses to everything you can hear and feel, and we'll follow that sensation.
So Avery is going to take a very like a deep breath of the forest air and kind of like close his eyes and just kind of like go, kind of tilts his head and like sniffs around a little. He closes his eyes so he doesn't have to see anyone else's reaction to that. And then, like, I think catches some, maybe, I don't know if he catches a little scent of something or just kind of, he's not sure what he's smelling for. He's just sort of like smelling for something familiar, something interesting to kind of like go towards something that's maybe not forest.
Okay. Roll a history check for that one.
13.
As you take some deep whiffs, you are pulled back and everybody else sees the forest flying past them, wind whooshing in their hair. And then we stop in a very crowded, very public gym. And we see a small Avery with one of their dads, Jay, and they have just come to work out for the first time in a nice big public gym. And Jay hops onto the treadmill and gestures at Avery to get set up on the one next to him. Avery hops up there, and this is a pretty small 14-year-old Avery, so a little younger than the last time we saw him. And Lizzie, oh my God, we've got two different ages. This is really cute. What was baby Avery like? That probably was...
Avery turns and looks at her and like puts his finger up to his mouth. He's like, shut up.
Oh my God, okay, got it. Leans over to Courtney and says, oh my God, but how cute would little Avery look like? Can you just imagine?
Literally, no. Literally, just stand right there.
All right, so what? I'm not sure what this memory is going to tell us.
We see little Avery hop on the treadmill and start running a little bit. And then maybe 20 seconds in, he starts having a sensory overload as he starts smelling too many things and hearing too many things and starts screaming a little bit in the middle of the gym. Everybody's starting to turn and look, and Jay takes him by the hand and starts leading him off to the side. It's like trying to calm him down. Hey, now it's all right. It's okay. You're good. What's going on? Little Avery starts explaining that he's smelling too much. He hears too much. Everything's too loud, and it's gripping the sides of his head and starts crying. And Jay takes him home. And we flash away back to the woods. Captain A.S. says, ah, okay, maybe the senses is not quite what we needed to go with. I apologize. That didn't look pleasant.
Wasn't.
Lizzie is decidedly quiet now.
Yep.
A.S. says, maybe we lean into some early friendships you developed. Are there any, who was your closest friends growing up? And Avery, a distinct memory pops out in your mind, but you immediately bury that down and refuse to accept that one. Lizzie is going to roll insight to see if she notices that.
Gemma, roll insight as well.
Of course.
Yeah, he probably seems like he's visibly like, thinks of some, you know, gets that look of expression of, I've thought of something, but immediately also tries to lock it down. But he is a little shaken from this.
Gemma rolled a 9.
Can I also roll insight?
Yes.
He is a little shaken from the gym scene.
Fair.
I rolled a 9.
Okay. You...
I also rolled a 9.
Oh, you guys do not pick it up. Lizzie got a 15, so she does see some slight apprehension across Avery's face, but doesn't push it, doesn't say anything about it. Avery, if you want to roll history, we can do one more flash. 16, very nice. You pull us all onto a small town neighborhood street, and we see 10-year-old Avery walking two dogs. They are pretty friendly, pretty. One of them is a golden retriever and the other one is a Jack Russell, and they are both pretty active, pretty spry. And we see Avery walking with them, taking them to the park, taking them around the blocks every once in a while.
This Avery has a like immediately kind of relaxes a little bit with this memory. And is like, it seems visibly a lot like he's enjoying watching this a lot more.
Beautiful. Lizzie kind of bumps up next to you and says, oh my God, who are these little puppies? They're so cute.
I said I should think of some friends. I guess this is what came to mind.
Oh my God, these are your friends? I love that.
Yeah. Smiles and goes, yeah, I used to walk all the neighbors' dogs once they realized I was better at it than most of the other kids. I guess that there's a reason for that.
Oh my god, it's because, oh, okay. Do you speak dog?
I can't spoil what's coming next.
Oh my god, that's so cool. Oh my god.
When we get back, you should like totally come talk to our dog Cheerio. I could just like tell he's like so wise, but like nobody's ever been able to talk.
Avery, who thinks back to all the stories they've told about Cheerio and looks distinctly skeptical about this assertion.
Also, like, I forgot for a second that Cheerio is not a real dog. Like, I care so deeply about Cheerio.
I know, it's gonna hurt. No, I'm just kidding.
How dare you?
Cheerio's gonna be fine.
You think Cheerio's in the normal world? You can't kill Cheerio.
Yeah.
Wanna bet? Anyway,
this is Noah's world. We're all just.
We already lost Bob. We cannot afford to kill off any cute animal sidekicks.
No, we see little Avery sitting down and talking with these dogs at a little break in the day under a nice shaded tree. And he starts talking to them about how they're his new friends and he understands them better than he understands most people he meets. And he gets it. They get him. And they have a little, like, they're licking his face and making really excited jumps back and forth. And Avery has a really, really sad look in his eyes. He,
my baby,
gets hugs from these puppies and he starts crying a little bit. And then he stands up and says, he'd be excited that I'm making new friends. He'd love you guys. And then we're back in the forest.
Who's he?
Is that a Gemma? Is that Gemma or is that?
Yeah. Who's he?
Oh, my dog.
Oh.
He died a couple years before. Well, about a year before I realized I could really talk to him. I think I was always able to communicate, but I didn't realize I could like really talk to him until, well, that there memory.
Lizzie does a little fist bump. Yes, I knew it. I know that. Aya rests her hand on your shoulder and says, all right, that was a step in the right direction. We're getting closer. Where would you like us to go next?
I don't feel like we're really getting anywhere with these memories. Maybe we gotta go for something a little more memorable in a not so good way. Does that seem like the right direction to take?
Sounds like a plan to me. And Lizzie says, oh my god, yay, trauma dump. And goes for a high five with Avery, but in a wholesome way.
Avery puts his hand up, but like just dead stares at her while he gives her the like least enthusiastic high five he can.
She does a little jump with it. And that's the end of the road for this episode of Queering People's Saving Throws. We are August as Avery, KJ of Supernatural Opinions as Courtney, Elena as Gemma, Sam as Mo, and myself, Noah, as the DM. Tune in next time to get into the nitty-gritty of Avery's trauma. You know how we do. Check the episode description for links to our socials and our kick-ass website, queeringthingspodcast.com. We'll be back in 2 weeks, so take some time this week to share the show with some friends. Thank you all for listening, and we wish you a peaceful road until we meet again. Side note, above the table, I had originally thought this was going to be a one episode thing, but I'm thinking it's going to be a two episode thing, which is fine.
Also, happy 10th episode, everyone.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. Is this our 10th episode? 10 episodes.
Wow.
Oh, nice.
Feels wild.